See, I remember to turn this mic on this time. So, you know, when I was a young man, I say young man because most of you know how old I am, and some of you call me young now, but I'm going to go back 20, 30 years. I used to go fishing. I like to fish. I haven't done it in a long time. I used to have all the accoutrement for it, you know, all the... In fact, my wife would say it was probably junk, but I used to have these cases and cases of lures and reels and lines and so on and so forth, and she would call it junk because it's like, how many do you need? It's like, you got a hook, you got a lure, whatever. I mean, you catch fish, right? Yeah, but hon, this one does this, right? So it looks like this in the water. So when the fish see this, they see it's their type of food that they eat. Well, how do you know which one to use? I said, well, sometimes you really don't, and it's kind of a gambling kind of things. So, but fishing to me was a good time. In fact, I used to go fishing quite a bit with my father-in-law before he passed away. And we would go up to the lakes in Minnesota. Beautiful area. Good fishing. And fish have a tendency to hide in certain areas in a lake. Do I have any fishing enthusiasts here? I know I have one. Yeah. You can go ahead and put your hand up, man. You got to know you're enthusiast. Anybody else that likes to fish? Okay, we got a few. We got another one. Anybody else that's just ever been fishing? All right, so I got a few more hands in there. You've been fishing. Maybe it's not your thing, but you've been fishing. But anyway, most of you, if you didn't know, that these fish have their sweet spots that they like to hide. You know, they have certain caves, nooks, trees, grass, or some other natural formation they like to hide in. And usually, with fish, you can catch some of the best fish in those areas, right? But sometimes it's difficult to get a lure in there. I mean, you gotta hold your tongue just right and look at it and just get that rod and reel going and just toss it just right. You know what I'm saying? Right? And forbid that there was wind or something. I remember there's time that there was wind blowing and that thing was going crazy and I'm trying to get this in that little nook underneath that branch where the shade's in there and I just know the big one's in there. It's going to be the biggest fish I ever caught, right? So I'm lining it up, get everything ready, getting ready to cast that bad dog out, wait for that calm moment where the wind's not coming and I let that thing fly. Next thing you know, the gust of wind comes. And that line goes right into the tree. Right in, now, see, now Blake's over there shaking his head, says, yep, been there, done that. So you're casting your line, and it's just aggravation, right? That is aggravation. But there's been other times where I've been out there casting, and there's no wind, has been no wind, and everything's pretty calm and stuff, and I'm out there casting, and I kind of get lax in what I'm doing, and I cast it out. While I'm casting, I look away. And what happened was when I looked away, I cast that not where I was wanting to, but somewhere else. And it got caught again in the trees, in the rocks, in the whole weed patch that was around there. And then you got to spend this time of going in and getting your lure because you know it's your favorite lure. You know it's your favorite lure. And it's like, I can't go without that one. I got to have it. So you cast your line and do those things. So when you aren't watching what you're doing in fishing, sometimes you get your line tangled up, right? And you spend more time untangling that line and getting your lure back than actually fishing. And it's aggravating to do that. So I guess the moral of the story is when you do that is that you have to watch where you're casting. You have to pay attention to where you're throwing your line. And that's kind of, mindful to say, yeah, I have to watch where I'm casting. Because you don't know where you're throwing it. You have to be observant of what you're doing. And being able to put your lure exactly where it's supposed to be. You know, Jesus tells us that we must watch what we're doing. You ever notice that in Scripture, how Jesus tells us to watch what we're doing and what we're paying attention to? He says that quite a bit, especially to his apostles, to his disciples, and watching what they're doing. In Matthew 7:15, he says that they are supposed to watch themselves. So I'm going to turn to Matthew 7:15 in my Bible, because I'm going to read a few scripture verses to you just right away here, where it says that we must watch what we're doing, where Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples, to his students, that they must pay attention to what they're doing. So in 7:15, it says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." So we're supposed to watch out for false prophets because they are not good for us, right? In Mark 8:15, he also talks to his disciples about they're supposed to watch out in that area. 8:15 says, "Be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." So he's given a clear direction that you're supposed to be watchful for these particular people. And you're supposed to be watchful for a reason because, well, these people he's talking about would be there to help, well, corrupt your life. They're not good for you. They're not there to help you out. They're not your friends. And you're supposed to watch out for them. Well, he continues to go on and to tell his disciples to watch out for different things even. So even in, you know, if you turn back to Matthew chapter 24, he's talking to his disciples in 24, Matthew chapter 24, in verse 42, where he says this. He says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Well, that's something entirely different that he told us to watch out for. This is not about a Pharisee or a Sadducee. We're supposed to watch out because we do not know on what day your Lord will come. I think it's kind of interesting that Jesus tells us to watch out for stuff. It brings back memories of years past when I was in the military. When I was in the military, I would have to stand a watch. And sometimes these watches were during the day, sometimes they're at night. I remember in my training days, I would have to stand a fire watch. And that's usually when everybody else is sleeping. I'd be up and around, make sure things didn't start on fire, and everybody was safe. But when I was on post and doing other things, I would have to stand a guard watch. And a guard watch can be in many different places at many different times. And sometimes they were just at a post. Sometimes they were along a fence line. But the thing was, you were supposed to be watchful for what was going on. You were supposed to be paying attention to what was happening. You were supposed to be vigilant and have a watchful eye. And they didn't tell you what to be watchful for. They just said to watch. And I said, well, what are we supposed to watch for? Well, I took it from them that I was supposed to watch for everything. It didn't matter what I was supposed to watch for. I was supposed to pay attention to everything. And I think that's what Jesus is telling us to do when he's telling his disciples and he's telling us to be watchful. What are we supposed to be watchful for? Everything. Because, well, we have bad people in the world that are there to, well, corrupt us. But we're also supposed to be watchful at the end because we do not know when he's coming back. And we have been told, and we believe, that he is returning. Right? That's our hope in life, that he is returning. That he comes back, and when he returns, then all glory is here on earth, and we know where we go, we know the ending, and we're supposed to watch for that. We're supposed to be ready for it. That's the thing. And we're supposed to be ready for it, because if you go back to Matthew chapter 42, or 24, and in 42, it says, "For we don't know when he will come." We don't know when he's going to return, right? I remember my parents, we got old enough, we were able to watch ourselves as three boys. You can imagine what was going to happen in the house then. You know, as three boys, three teenage boys in the house, mom and dad would go out and they'd do something together. He says, "Now you guys, we'll be back later on." And you'll notice that I didn't say he told us when he would be back. He said he'd be back later on. That later on could be 15 minutes. It might be 3 hours. It says, but in that time, we were supposed, there were certain things we were supposed to do, right? Maybe we were supposed to get the chores done. Maybe we were supposed to do something else. Maybe we were just not to even wreck the house. But these were the instructions that my dad gave us. And it's like, okay, we as boys, you know, it's like, well, what time do you think you're going to come back? I don't know. I don't know where they're going. Does anybody have any idea what they're doing? Well, they're going to do this. Well, how long do you think that's going to take? Well, I don't know. So what do you think we can do in the meantime? And sometimes we go out and we do some dumb things. And sometimes we go out and do these dumb things. And the next thing I know, I got my older brother yelling, "They're home!" And we would make a beeline for the house. Because we knew we weren't supposed to be doing what we were doing. And we weren't watching for my dad to return. We knew we were going to be in trouble. I think sometimes this is what Jesus is really talking about. Jesus is talking about watching so we would not get in trouble. That we would not be in a place where he has to come in and he has to go, "I told you so." Now we have to have some discipline. Jesus tells these things because they're important enough, in fact, that Jesus told us not only once, but twice in that same area of the Bible in his parables. In fact, if you went to the next chapter, 25, you would see in verse 13, it says, "Therefore keep watch," right? "Because you know not the day or the hour that I will return." It was important for Jesus to tell us at least twice within that little span of time that we needed to keep watch. We needed to pay attention. We needed to be vigilant. We needed to be vigilant as a guard standing watch, where you're paying attention to everything. And it's not only a guard standing watch during the daytime, because there's a difference. You know the difference between a guard standing watch in the daytime and the nighttime? It's harder to see at night. So you have to watch that much harder. And Jesus, in these two particular scripture paragraphs and verses, is talking about us keeping watch as a night watchman would keep watch. Very carefully. Scanning everything. Calling into account everything that is going on. Not just giving a glance, but paying attention to specifics of what's happening. We're supposed to stand watch in that way. And what are we supposed to be looking for? Well, in this regard, Jesus definitely gave us some help. Because he said we're supposed to be standing looking for the dangers that would lead us astray from him. That would take us away from his grace and his heart for us. We're supposed to be looking at and paying attention to the temptations that would ensnare or entrap us so easily. And to be honest, folks, there are certain temptations that do entrap and ensnare easily. They are unique to each and every person. Yours are different than mine. But we're supposed to pay attention to those. And we're supposed to do it in such a way that it doesn't lead us astray. You remember when Jesus was in the garden and he took Peter and he took the sons of Zebedee with him, the sons of thunder with him. And he was there. And he told them, says, "I'm going to go off here and I'm going to pray. And I want you to do something." You remember what he told them that he wanted them to do? He says, "I want you to watch and I want you to pray." And then he walked off and he started praying. And he came back and he found them asleep. And he said to them, "Simon, are you asleep? Are you sleeping out there? Couldn't you keep watch with me for just an hour? Couldn't you be vigilant and pay attention and pray for just an hour?" He says, "I want you to watch. I want you to pray so you don't fall into temptation. I know that you are spiritually able, but your flesh is really weak. Your flesh is weak, and your flesh will fall to temptations." And he explained that to them because he wanted them to keep watch like no other so that they would not be led into temptation. Because the way to offset sin is not to be tempted in the first place. That we would live a life according to that we would not sin. And if we don't want to sin, don't be tempted. And if you pray, you get that extra bit of ability to fight temptation. If you're vigilant in what you're doing, You get that extra bit of wisdom to say, I know triggers in certain areas of my life that I need to pay attention to. You ever been at that moment in your life when it's like, you know what, I had this certain thing in my life that was really a problem for me, and now with the help of the Lord, I've gotten over it. And then you go weeks, months, perhaps even years down the road, and all of a sudden something just creeps back in. That old sin, the old temptation was there. Something that was like, I thought I was saved from this. I thought this was removed from me. But all of a sudden, it kind of rears its ugly head again. It's like, where did that come from? Well, it came from the fact, and this is the way Satan works in your life. Don't make no mistake about it. You think you're strong in one area, you don't have to pay attention to it. And that's where Satan is standing there. And he's not standing there with a hammer hitting the wall. He's standing there just digging at it with his finger. And sooner or later, he's just making a hole. And that hole becomes larger and larger and larger and larger. And all of a sudden, the floodgates open and there's that temptation again. Because we stopped watching that area of our life. That's why we need to pay attention to what we're doing and how we're doing things so much. We have the desire not to have those temptations and those things in our lives, our challenges in our lives, but become distracted so easily. We are so easily distracted in things. You know, as I get older, I find my memory not being the best as it used to be, especially my working memory. My working memory gives you, you're supposed to be able to store like between 10 to 15 thoughts in your head as your working memory and be able to remember those. I cannot. I'm lucky if I get 7 to 8. I could be walking down the hallway saying, I'm going here to do this thing, and all of a sudden my wife gets my attention on something that we have to take care of, and I'm walking down and say, why am I here in the hallway? What was I doing? Because I got distracted. We easily become distracted. Even our young people become distracted so easily by our technologies of today and things going on that we don't pay attention, we don't watch what we're doing in life. And we need to, because we become distracted from being ready to receive God's salvation in His second coming. We don't talk about this a lot. We don't talk a lot about God's, Jesus' coming salvation in His second time. We always talk about that at first initial salvation. We're saved from everything that we have in life. We can't go astray. You know, we're perfect now. No, we're not. He's coming again, folks. Make no mistake. And when He comes again, you need to be ready. I need to be ready. And there's certain things that we need to watch out for and not be distracted by when it comes. He wants you to receive the promise that He has for you. He wants you to receive the entire gift that He has ready for you. Not just the part that we live with here and now on this earth, but the part that comes beyond that. When His second coming comes in, we receive that entire gift. Do you remember that? You read that in Scripture? We get so much more. And it's a fantastic thing, but we have to be ready for it. We have to be ready for that eternal life. Because Jesus said that we are His sheep and we understand Him. And that He is here to give us eternal life. Right? We all know that. In fact, I want you to turn to the book of John real quick. Turn to the book of John in chapter 10. Because I want you to read exactly what Jesus was saying when He told us that we are His sheep and we know His voice. And He knows us. So you will fully understand exactly what He's saying and the way He's saying it. Chapter 10, starting with verse 27, where it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I look at that and I think about what Jesus is actually saying to his people, to his followers, that we are his sheep, that he gives us eternal life, that no one can take us or snatch us from out of his hand. It kind of makes you feel good, doesn't it? Knowing that when you give your life to Jesus, no one can take you from Jesus. But if you skim or you scan the verses before and after that, or anywhere else in the Bible, it doesn't say that you can't jump from his hand. It doesn't say that you can't walk out of the palm of his hand. It doesn't say that you can't stray from the shepherd. In fact, sheep had been straying for years. These are the things that we need to be careful of straying away from Jesus. Yes, Jesus will come after us. He will chase us down again. But it's just like anything else. I remember going and working on the farm where I had to sort pigs. Now, our farmers in here that know the pork product pretty good and how they sort pigs and stuff, sometimes that can be really aggravating. Yeah, I got Mike over there shaking his head. Nope. I see the smile on his face too. You get this one that you want to put in this particular pen and you're going after it, and all of a sudden it turns around and goes. And it's like, all right. Next thing you know, if you spent 15, 20 minutes chasing this one hog to get him in this one particular pen. Now, I don't know if anybody else has experienced that aggravation, but I have experienced that aggravation with cows. Anybody ever had to deal with cows that got out of the field and trying to get them back in? I'm sure sheep were kind of the same way, that they would just keep wandering and wandering and wandering. Folks, I tell you, people are the same way. People are the same way. Because sometimes when we get out of the pen, we just keep on wandering. And no matter how much the farmer, the shepherd, our owner wants to get us back in line, we just keep walking the wrong way. But the great thing is that he doesn't give up. He doesn't say, okay, you're wandering away. You're on your own. He chases us down. And he gives us that chance again. But we got to learn how not to wander away. We got to learn how to combat those things. Like when we see the hole in the fence, we got to learn how to stay away from the hole in the fence. When we learn how that temptation is coming up, we got to learn how to say, Lord, I'm tempted right here. I need your help to stay away from those things. And being watchful and keeping that wisdom, keeping that thought in our head about how we can truly stay connected with Jesus and not be distracted. Because that's where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that's where the evil ones want us to be, is distracted. That's where they want you to be. You're easier to conquer there. When you're off all alone, all by yourself, you're a lot easier to conquer than when you're with the group. And that's one of the things, it's like, I try to explain it often about how we are supposed to come together because we are there to protect each other and be a part of each other, to support each other. And it's not a small task. It's an important task. I had a lady one time at Polaris. I asked her, I said, are you a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? She said, yes. I said, oh, what church do you go to? Oh, you don't have to be Christian and go to a church. I looked at her and said, how'd you figure that out? I didn't get an answer. I think that was the end of the conversation because she soon turned around and walked away. But everywhere I look in the scripture, it says to be a follower of our Lord, we have to come together. We have to be part of each other and we keep watch on each other. Now, yes, we can do things incorrectly sometimes. We can behave incorrectly. You know, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday. You were there. Where he had gone to a particular church. He had a very, very, very interesting past. And he had gone to a particular church, and as soon as they found out about his past, the rumors started. And these rumors drove him away. And he had been to many different churches. This is the mentality of people that you need to be careful of. This is the mentality of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that you need to make sure that you're not doing. Because it's important. It's important that we come together and we protect each other. We are there for each other always, no matter what, thick and thin, everything. We are there together. And we are part of each other's lives. And not only watch out for ourselves, but watch out for others. Because what they're going through may be something that you get to go through next. It's important that we do those things. Paul wrote in one of his letters when he was trying to counsel the church in Corinth, he said to them, he says, I want you guys to stand guard. I want you to stand firm. Be courageous and be strong. He said this to him because it was something they were battling with, people coming in and trying to subvert their faith in Jesus and try to lead them down a different path. He says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, and be courageous, be strong. Because that's what it takes to truly be on your guard. That's what it takes to truly be a church. That's what it takes to truly be in one with Jesus Christ. Not in just the head, but the body. We have to watch out for the temptations. We have to watch out for the deceivers in our life. We have to watch out for those things that would distract us. We have to stand firm. We have to not give in to the wisdom of the world that seems to creep in from all over. It's like a 360-degree battle that we do. Just about the time you think you got things, someone from behind gets you. That all that wisdom from the world all of a sudden begins to just creep in. You ever notice how that comes in there? It seeps in. We need to strive together in faith to combat that. We need to be courageous. Even in the atmosphere of uncertainty in our lives, we need to be courageous. Yeah, maybe you don't understand everything. Maybe there are certain things that, you know, that just floors you in your understanding. But you have to be courageous. Be courageous in the Lord. Because Jesus would never lead you astray. You don't change your idea about the Lord just because somebody from outside says, well, this is what happened to me. This is what Jesus did to me. You ever heard that said? God did this. God did this and he did that. He did all these bad things in my life. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. But it's hard for people to understand that. Because we like to blame somebody for something that's not right in our life. We don't take ownership of who we are and what we've actually done. We don't understand the fact that this world is not the way it's supposed to be. It seems like the older you get, the more of those experiences you have, hopefully the more that you will truly understand and be able to explain those to younger people in your life. We need to be courageous in that fact of uncertainty. We need to be strong, strong in everything in what we do. Have the integrity to walk through life knowing that we stood there for Jesus in everything. Doing the right thing, even when there's the easiest thing, that would be much, much simpler. Get me out of that so much quicker that I can go on and do something that I wanted to do. I could take the easy way out. But sometimes the easy way is not the right way. We need to be strong in the grace which is in Jesus Christ. Strong in His grace. Strong in His love. Strong in His strength. Strong in His heart. Strong in His hope. Strong in His mercy. Strong in Jesus. We need to have that strength that only comes from being with Jesus. We need to keep in faith with Jesus, even in the little moments, even in the tiniest, minute little events of our life. We need to be in step with Jesus and keeping with the faith of Him. And we need to do that always. Why? Because we do not know when He will return. And He will return. It's not always easy, but it is rewarding. So, don't miss out just because you're watching somewhere else. Don't miss catching that fish because you're not watching where you're throwing the lure. Be mindful of what's going on, because Jesus has a singular gift for you. The best gift you will ever get, because that gift is life. Life eternal. And see what Jesus does when you watch him. See what Jesus wants for you. See those things. See his beauty, his love, his mercy, his grace, his heart, his strength, his peace. See those things. Because when you do, you will never take your eyes from him again. You'll be watching him all the time. So let me ask you this. Do you know the peace? Do you know that? Do you know what Jesus truly wants for you? Do you truly know what he wants for you? Not just on the surface, but underneath, in the hiding spots where you catch the big fish. Do you know what Jesus wants for you? If you don't, now's the time to ask him. Do you know the life that Jesus is offering? Not just the life here in this world, but your eternal life. Do you know it? If you don't know it, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. Let's see where you're at. Perhaps when we're done, you'll have a greater understanding. Because as we all found out last week, knowledge is not understanding. You know, Jesus chose you. He chose you because he trusted you. He trusted you with his singular gift. He trusted you so much that says, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm not going to ask for anything in return. Because he trusts you that much. So we need to be ready and be grateful for the gift that he sends us and he gives. And if you, in reflection, think that, man, I don't know if I'm ready, Pastor, let's have a conversation about that. But if you know you're ready, be open to having a conversation with somebody else that may not be in your spot. Because that's how we make it possible. So that when Jesus returns and we see him in his glory, we have no questions about what's going to happen. None whatsoever. I want you to know the singular gift that Jesus has for you. And if you don't, now's the time to ask. So if you don't have Jesus in your life, or you don't have Jesus to the extent in your life that you want him right now, then now's the time to ask. Ask him. Just pray out to him and say, Jesus, come into my life and show me who you truly are. Show me your heart. Show me who I'm supposed to be. Show me I'm valued. Show me I'm loved. Show me that I am one of your sheep. And even though I wander away sometimes, that you will come and you will chase me down. No matter how far I go, you will be there for me and you will lead me back. Show me, Jesus. People all over this world, and I would say there's probably people inside this building that aren't sure, and you need to be sure. And now's the time, because Jesus may come back next year, he may come back next week, he may come back tomorrow. Are you ready? Are you ready? Show me, Jesus. Show me you, so I know I'm ready. That is a singular gift. I wish, I pray for each and every person. I pray for you. I pray for myself. I pray for everyone. That Jesus would be shown in each and everyone's heart, and they would be ready. So let's just be ready. Let's be vigilant. Let's watch. This is guards, watch at night. Let's look at everything and make sure that we're not being chased away, torn away, or stepping away. And we're going to be ready for him to come again, because that will be a glorious day. Amen.